Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 16, Where There's Smoke. Issue 1, The Devilis You Know. On the cover, Sage stands in front of a changing room mirror dressed as Lunar Lens. Alina hovers at her side, carrying piles of discarded costumes. In the mirror, Sage's reflection is slumped on the floor, costume torn and broken. Down in the corner is a special glossy sticker of the Falcon logo wreathed in flames. Embossed letters proclaim, "This is part of the Falcon Down event."
Dear Arcana, while the rest of the city is torn between Falcon and Mutation, that's kind of old news to you. Mutation versus Falcon has more or less been your life since you were six. And with appointed churches popping up around the city, that tension is worse than ever. If you pursue your psychic gifts, roll plus freak. If you focus on infiltration, roll plus superior.
So which one do you want to do?
I'm going to focus on my psychic gifts.
Fantastic.
All right. When you dive into your psychic studies, tell us who you are studying under and roll plus freak. On a hit, they take you on as a mentee. You may use them for the purposes of fireside chat and heroic tradition. On a 10 plus, choose one. The asset doesn't know about these meetings. You begin to understand your telepathic powers. You take influence over your mentor.
Oh, there's only five on the dice. What's your freak?
What's your freak?
Plus two.
That brings it to a seven.
You made it.
So go ahead and tell us, who have you been training under?
Adder Adler.
Fantastic. He was a Silver Age kind of sorcerer, sort of psychic. Definitely a lot of moving into the astral plane, using psychic poisons that he injects into himself. Kind of a weird dude, but also knows a whole lot about psychic stuff.
Yeah, and I felt like I know a lot about the structure of Protean City and the infrastructure, but it's like an invisible identity thing where I can amass some extra power that would be helpful without having to visibly choose a side.
Fantastic. Yeah, sure. Sounds great. Yeah. And so because you did not get a 10 plus, the asset does know that you've been meeting with Adler. And so just like we get a couple of panels like that show you maybe doing another time that you're taking the shot of the venom and going into psychic planes and you know, using your telepathy, using it more, just a little bit tighter. Like you're managing it a little bit better. You're lifting things that are a little heavier. Mm-hmm. And Adler is like, you know, at your side, coaching you on. Mm-hmm. And we get a panel that shows the asset back at home. And we just see like the same speech bubbles coming through his computer. Cause he's got a bug on your bag, I think. And so he is aware of these meetings. And we see kind of just like a little bit of like a glower come to his face for a moment. And then he, clicks and drags, gets things out of the way and starts going back to working with looking at stuff with the appointed. So that was probably, you know, a side issue thing that's been in with the other love letters. But now we're back into full on Protean City Comics. And our first panel is divided with a whole bunch of different television screens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set in kind of like a jagged sort of wild way. And we have a bunch of opinions coming in with people saying, like my son was kidnapped by Falcon agents and held. And he's never done anything wrong. He was not accused of even of any crime. And someone else saying, holding Windshear there is just a matter of safety for the city. It's a thing that's really important. It's a way to really just keep us all safe. And there's another one that's just two people, just two talking heads, just full on screaming at each other. And they're both like red in the face. And the commentator is trying to like cool things down. And then the next panel is just black for a moment. And a voice comes on and it says, "These are dark times. These are frightening times. And in these times, sometimes you need a light." And the light and the panel just brightens up and fills. And you see the outside of this big, like, mega church looking structure that has the image that has the sign of the appointed above it. And standing in front is a man. He's a middle-aged Caucasian. He's wearing a navy suit that's like really nicely fitted and has at the lapel a little pin of the appointed. Mm-hmm. And he just looks kind of calm and welcoming. And he steps forward and he says, "I'm Evan Lee, and I'm here to bring the peace of your own genetics to you." And he kind of just brings his hands together and people come in from the sides. And there are people that have all sorts of, some of them have obvious mutations, some of them don't. And he reaches out a hand and he says, "Come to the Church of the Appointed, and we can teach you to harness the energy that's inside you." And then there's a little thing at the bottom, paid for by the Church of the Appointed. And the next panel is showing the two of you seated somewhere together, having just seen this on TV. Where are you?
Your hangout?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're on the futon, mm-hmm. one of the futons, mm-hmm. just sort of curled up and doing, I don't know, homework or maybe just sort of hanging.
I've also been studying quite a lot, so I'm probably borrowing some of your books, and we're like half studying, half watching TV, half forgetting the world for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, I'm no longer relaxed now that I've seen this commercial.
I'm going to quick like mute the TV and turn to Alina and just be like, "Are you okay?"
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fine.
I don't buy that for a hot second, but
it's fine. You know what? I've got a plan. I'm working on it. And the fact that he has come out of the shadows doesn't change my trajectory at all.
If anything, it just makes it more clear. He's more of a threat now, more an open target. And we're getting bigger and badder all the time. We got this. And you know I have your back.
Thanks.
For what that's worth anymore.
And I think in the background of this panel, we can see the commercial is like wrapping up. Mm-hmm. And it shows the genome kind of twisting, like, you know, the helix twisting, mm-hmm. and it just turns and like flays out for a moment and becomes the symbol of the appointed with all of its pointed circular shape kind of thing.
Listen, the reason why Evan Lee is so dangerous is because he offers people this fantasy, this dream of being powerful. Because people are scared, and that's what they think is going to make them not scared. But you don't have to be scared. You're not scared, actually. I think how you've handled this whole thing is amazing, and you are far more capable of most things than anybody with powers. I wouldn't train you for anyone.
Go ahead and roll to comfort and support. That's plus mundane. That's a 5.
Yeah.
Okay. At that moment, so like you're having this second that you're trying to kind of comfort and be helpful. And at that moment, you hear just a grinding of, like a movement of something being shifted in your base. It sounds like it's down the hallway that you know Mindshot is being kept.
I'm going to jump up and like dust the Cheeto dust off of me or whatever we were doing and be like, "What was that?"
Well, it sounds like it was coming from where we keep, you know, her.
Is she well contained? Should we be concerned?
Well, let me go check it out.
You hear slapping footsteps down the hallway that are like running.
So I'm going to go with yes, and I'm going to run.
So you get to the hallway, mm-hmm. and you can see that she managed to get the hinges off of the door
mm-hmm.
and had like just broken her way out of it. She had spent quite a bit of time and clearly quite a bit of energy. You can see that like her nails are all messed up from trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But she is coming down the hall towards you. And we get like the little panel that says mind shot, mutated by the appointed psychic finger guns. Watch out. Click boom. She stops for a moment and just like puts up her hand. And she's dressed in, I think you said that she's dressed in kind of like sweatshirt, sweatpants kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's convenient to change and everything like that. But she stands for a minute and just raises both of her fingers, pointing them like finger guns. And we see the tattoos on her wrists of her kind of ammo count. And she goes, "All right, listen. We're going to do this the hard way, the easy way."
How close are we to her? Or how is she to us?
You're down the hallway from her. You're probably like 30 feet away.
30 feet. Okay. So by the time I would run to her, she would have...
She can definitely get to you at that point. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to step in front of Penance and I'm going to try and push her whole body back into the cell.
Okay, like, you're just gonna
back and around.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
All right. That's a 10.
Okay. So, yeah, we get just a moment that shows you with a second of concentration. Mm-hmm. And we actually get, I think we actually get to see a little bit of that working with Dr. Adler, that you just whoomp and just psychic project her and she goes flying back in. She kind of goes down into like a 3-point stance. Are you going to close? I imagine you close, like, just hurl the door back in place also.
Yes. I'm going to need you to grab some duct tape from the workbench, you know, back there.
Yeah, okay.
Second futon on the left.
And I should be running, but I'm not. I'm, like, walking because that sucked.
And so she, Mindshot comes up to the window and just, like, slams her fist against it. And is just glaring at you. And she says, "You've been trying to take down my church because you say they kidnap people and they hold people. And look what you're doing. This is exactly the same thing. You think you're so high and mighty. This is, you're holding people in just the same way."
And I'm going to walk over with the duct tape and get ready to like start securing things. And I'm just going to mute the voice communication box on the cell so we can't hear her anymore.
Before that happens,
yeah.
She mm-hmm. is an adult.
Okay.
At least when we have a team of, you know, 15 to 17 year olds, she's an adult because she's in her young 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So she does have an influence over you, unless you took it away from her, which I don't think you did.
No.
Which means she is going to be able to shift your labels.
Okay.
She is lowering your savior and raising your danger. Do you accept or reject?
I reject.
You reject? Okay. Go ahead and roll flat.
10.
Very nice. So on a 10 plus, you'll choose 2. Clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Shift one label up and one label down, your choice. Or cancel their influence and take +1 forward against them.
I'm going to cancel their influence and get +1.
Cool.
And I'm going to shift my mundane up.
Okay.
And my freak down, I guess.
Can I go up and just turn off the speaker box so she can't?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so she's just grumpy and whatever, but she's stuck. So
okay.
I'm just going to lock her up, make sure it's secure, and start taping over mm-hmm. the part she scratched.
Well, yeah, it's just to secure some of the parts before I start welding them together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And so we get a little editorial box that says one welding job later. And I think it shows Alina like in whatever, like do you wear the hood and everything?
Gloves.
Nice.
Yeah.
And there's, you've got like your little robots around you handing you mm-hmm. The materials you need.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just watching from the side, like watching her be awesome and be in her element, and like there is not an issue that she can't solve somehow, and I'm impressed and intimidated and feeling wholly inadequate. So
in the panel we have Mindshot just like through the window holding up her middle fingers and making angry faces at you, just kind of throwing a little fit.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you do have a communication device that connects to your team and helps you know when there's threats afoot. A little notification blings on, letting you know that there's a current superpowered threat going on in your area. Whereabouts is this warehouse? Have we established that?
It's an abandoned office park. Maybe it was the developer thought that it was going to be a huge commerce thing, but
yeah.
the funding didn't go through for one of the roads, so like it wasn't as accessible as he wanted.
Perfect.
It.
Gotcha. Yeah, cool. And you know, it's abandoned, and people don't go sneaking around abandoned places when you're in a city that has like monster alligators.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there is a business nearby. Mm-hmm. Like you're in the area,
mm-hmm.
But it's basically a big business center office building mm-hmm. that is under attack. Corporate bigwig kind of thing. And you are the nearest heroes among your group that are connected. So obviously there's other heroes in the city,
mm-hmm.
but basically Frequency's app went off to let you know that that was trending.
Okay. All right.
What do you do?
We just know it's under attack. We don't know any information.
I mean, you could definitely pull up more information.
So Sage's inner monologue is, I don't know if I'll be useful here. I'm not going to go put myself in the way of real heroes if I'm not actually of any use. So she would be trying to figure out what it is before she goes.
Okay. So what it looks like is Miss DeVillis, who mm-hmm. is kind of a legacy hero from Dr. DeVillis,
mm-hmm.
is attacking this office building. She's been working her way up the building, kind of just destroying a lot of files, destroying a lot of equipment and things like that. There's definitely hostages in the building. And as of this very second, it sounds like no one else has arrived yet. Obviously, if you let it go, people will arrive. Or you can be heroes.
So I watch all of the thoughts pass through Sage's brain and express themselves on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I'm not great at the talky-talking. So I just do whatever my mentor does when he senses that I am stuck. And that is, I grab her jacket and I throw it at her and I say, let's go.
Amazing. Do we get like the panel that shows the asset kind of like throwing it mm-hmm. at you is kind of like a bigger kind of hazy thing. And then behind you doing the same.
Yes. Awesome. Basically.
So awesome. I'm going to catch it and reluctantly hit the button in my pocket that wakes up my fucking cool motorcycle. The only source of heroing in my life right now. And I'm going to call my bike and get ready.
What, you're
going
to call your bike?
Yeah, I call it. Yeah,
nice.
It's like a button and it comes to me.
So we get a panel that shows the bike like roaring to life. And then we have a panel that shows Windshear lying on the ground reading a newspaper just kind of in the hallway.
Perfect.
And he's like circling job possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And the bike just like hurls in the air over him for a second. And he looks up at it and then goes back to his newspaper. And the bike just like skids sideways down the hallway towards the two of you.
Ramon has gotten so much better at this newfangled world. He's just like, I'll just ignore it. It's fine. So it's going to skid up next to me and like park and wait for me politely.
I'm going to be like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have to clean that later.
I'll clean it.
No, come
I'll
on.
I'll clean it. I made a mess. I'll clean it.
All right. Do you have a spare helmet?
Yeah, I do. But I kind of have this thing about letting never mind. Yes, I have a helmet.
Let's
yes.
go.
Okay.
Yeah, so we definitely get a panel that shows the two of you. Because this doesn't have a sidecar. She's like behind
you, right?
Yeah,
she's just behind me.
Nice.
Yeah.
And just like zooming through the city.
Yeah, but we both have Lunar Lens helmets on still because I still haven't gotten like my helmet. So we have two like bird beak helmets on nice. This on this really sick motorcycle. They're really extra.
Yeah. The 90s were a different time. And so, yeah, so you skid sideways into into like the area in front of this just big, beautiful business. Like, clearly there's a lot of money here. There's a lot of power here. Mm. And there's a lot of shattered windows here because like each floor, it looks like she's just going up and just wrecking things as she goes. There's police on the scene and they've made a perimeter. They're getting things ready. There you are. What do you do?
Can we assess the situation?
You can assess the situation, but you'll only get information that helps you to the point that you're outside the building. Right. So like you might want to assess it again when you're face to face.
But I want to know like how much damage has been done. Perfect. Or where she is, absolutely. Or whatever.
Yes. Feel free to roll plus superior.
6 plus 9. Seven.
Seven. Okay, cool. And actually the ability you chose as the depowered was deep insight, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So that's also is going to be something that kind of helps you to, it's the fictional positioning thing.
Okay.
So on a 7 to 9, you get to ask one, what here can I use to blank? What here is the biggest threat? What here is in the greatest danger? Who here is most vulnerable to me? And how could we best end this quickly?
So I'm going to choose what here is in the greatest danger.
Okay. So using your keen observations and knowledge of how things are going, we get almost like a Sherlock view for a second, that shows all of like the windows being shattered, everything being busted, and the realization that this is a lot. Like if she wanted, there's elevators, and so she's trying to definitely do more than just steal something. She's trying to show that she's dangerous, that she's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's probably here to do something directly related to ransom. If she's doing something directly related to ransom, it's probably that she's going after the CEO of the business. You know, like that she's not just, that the people on the floors, whatever, she's interested in having them be scared.
Mm-hmm.
But she wants to show that she means business.
So I'm going to click my bike and it's going to leave. And it's just get out of the way so nobody messes with it.
It goes and parks in a designated motorcycle spot.
Yeah, it just goes somewhere else so it's out of the way.
All right.
I don't want people messing with it when we're not here because we're going to go in, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm going to pull up my hood and be like, okay, boss, what's the plan?
First of all, don't call me boss.
It's right. You drug me here.
Listen, your choices are your own, whether you have powers or not. Okay?
I'm here. What would you like to do? I'm here with you. I came. I don't have a plan. Do you have a plan?
There's a big panel that shows like the two of you are kind of like arguing a little bit in front of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone is burst out the window. He's got all like steel looking skin.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get more when we interact with him more, but he basically just like flies out the window and slams to the ground and sits there for like half a second, immediately next to the two of you, and like pulls himself up. He's a big guy. He's like 6.5 feet tall. His skin is all muscular, really fit, has a tight undercut. And his skin is made of steel. It has kind of like the hammered metal look. Mm-hmm. So it has kind of like the little indentation sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And definitely one of his arms is looking a little extra dented right now. And he just kind of reaches down and squeezes his arm and it just pops out properly and makes like a nice muscle. Because he's in torn off sleeves, but otherwise in a navy appointed suit complete with the pin on his lapel. And so he stands up and there's like a little moment that he looks a little disoriented and then he looks back up at the building and is about to charge back in the front door. The police are like pulling back to give him a space to run through.
Oh, so the police are responding to him trying to help. They want him in there.
Yeah, as far as they, it seems that they know he's here to fight Miss DeVillis.
So I'm going to check the eye contact with Alina, and then I'm going to try to give her the eyes like, I'm going to try to give you a head start, and I'm going to try to distract this guy.
Okay.
So that Alina can get in there before him, because I don't trust him, and I obviously do trust her to actually do the right thing.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So I'm just going to be like, hey! And I'm going to be like super like weird and like grab his weird arm, and I'm just going to squeeze him and be like, you look like you work out.
It is straight up a metal arm.
Yeah, I know.
Like, there's no, like,
I know.
There is, I just want to make clear, there's no like flesh change.
I got that.
Go ahead and roll to provoke.
She being basic right now in hopes to like distract. It's a six.
It's a six. So it's still a, it's still a six minus. He looks at you.
I feel like that shouldn't have worked, though. So it's probably on par with what's real.
He looks at you with just a look of, there's a moment of confusion and then kind of disgust. And he shakes his head and goes, I'm kind of in the middle of something here.
I know.
And you're going to mark a condition. Have you marked insecure yet?
No, that's the one I was going to mark insecure. Yeah.
And so he like shakes you off, which he does really easily, and just like running jumps over the police barrier line and is like running into the building.
He seems to have everything in hand at the moment. So I think what I want to know is why the hell the police officers are letting the appointed minions do any kind of policing.
Okay.
Subduing.
Are you wearing your domino mask, wearing the Lunar Lens bike helmet, or the Lunar Lens motorcycle helmet, or coming up looking like a civilian?
Well, I'm going to, so I'm taking my helmet off.
Okay.
I appear as a civilian.
Okay.
So I grab a hair tie, I put my hair up in a tight bun, and I dive into one of Sage's pockets and get some lipstick and some mascara that I know she keeps in there. And I just say, oh, can you do the mascara? I always poke myself in the eye.
we get a couple of panels that are like really quick panels that look very much like getting ready action movie style. It's like, you know, grab the thing, take it off the helmet.
But it's mascara and lipstick.
And then that is like a bigger panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to be like, look up. Okay, blink. Blink. Okay, slow down. All right. I got it. Okay, good.
All right. Can I pass for a journalist? Or should I try and go for their superior?
Ooh. I mean, I think you pass as a journalist.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going over to the cops now.
Nice.
And I've got my phone that look, you know, shoved out like I'm a gorilla reporter. Hi, my name is Selena Gomez for the Daily Watch Daily. Can I get a few comments from you about what's going on here?
Go ahead and roll to provoke.
Seven.
Nice. So on a 10 plus, they rise to the bait. On a 7 to 9, they can instead choose one, stumble, error, overreact. So I think, he's willing to talk to you. There's other people there. And so he goes, Daily Watch Daily. My daughter's always talking about you.
Well, thank you. And say thank you to your daughter for us.
She loves watching your Selena Gomez videos. And he kind of like pauses for a second and like looks around like to find if he's got like something for you to sign. Because he his daughter does not watch Daily Watch Daily.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter is a Selena Gomez fan.
Mm-hmm.
But he does not know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, situation here. Ms. DeVillis taking over the building. We've got a couple capes inside, so I'm sure this will be resolved pretty quickly.
Now, when you say capes, I've noted that at least one of the aforementioned capes is an appointed member.
Is this some sort of new collaboration between the police force and the church?
Appointed by the church?
The appointed church.
Oh, yeah, I've been seeing some of their billboards around. I don't know, just, they're two new ones as far as I can tell. They told me their names are Guild and, something Flash something. Arc Flash. The big guy, you may have seen him just out, he came from up there and landed, and, Arc Flash, she's a little one, but she's firing all sorts of electricity. So I think they've got this.
While she's distracting him, can I try to sneak into the building?
Absolutely. Go ahead and roll to act with desperation.
And I chose a label to add to that because that was one of my advancements.
Oh, perfect.
And I picked Savior.
Right, because it starts out that you do not add anything.
Hell yeah.
7.
I got a 7 plus Savior, which is 3. I got a 10.
Very nice. So when you act with desperation.
On a 10 plus, you handle it like a true hero and choose one. Impress, surprise, or amaze somebody, shift mundane down and another label up, or set up an opportunity for your ally. I'm going to set up an opportunity for my ally.
Okay.
I'm going to go inside, sneak inside the building, assuming nobody sees me. And once inside, I'm going to open a side window for Alina so that she can just walk around the building and enter.
Cool. And I assume you text her about that as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. We have our earpieces in now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So we get a couple of panels that show you like going in and like moving between things. You duck under at just the perfect moment as someone goes to take a sip of coffee. Like, mm-hmm. So his arm blocks where your head would be.
That black hoodie is my best friend.
Yeah. It's just like, and like really managing it, really managing exactly when people are going to look away and going through then. Cause that's that deep insight going on. And you are in the building. So yeah. What's your plan? What are you doing?
So I'm going to open the window for Alina and okay. And kind of punch into her and be like, hey, I got the window on the east side open.
Okay. Got it. Thanks for the info. I'm sorry. I have to do another interview across town. Looks like you guys are fighting the good fight or letting other people fight the good fight for you. So good job. And I'll see you later. And I just tear off and run out.
And he's looking at you with like a look of confusion. Mm-hmm. And then he takes out his cell phone and like hits a quick dial and goes, hey, honey, I just met Selena Gomez. And then the next panel shows you like, I guess, hopping up into the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're in like this front entrance lobby of this building, because it is a building that people come to do business in addition to just having offices. And all of the windows have been shattered. There's fire damage all over the place. There's not like raging flame, but you're seeing like a lot of melted steel beams and things like that. This building's infrastructure is probably not going to be super great with the amount of damage you're seeing. There is an elevator, but it looks like someone put their hand on the controls and just melted through it. Like you see the shape of a hand having pushed through there. There's also, of course, emergency stairs because this is a building that meets fire codes. Actually, you know what? Fire codes. All of the sprinklers are on, and the sprinklers are going to be on probably for the rest of the time you're here because
fire
and smoke. Yeah. And there are people in the building. Like there's people behind the counter, and they're just kind of like crouched down and hidden, but you can hear them. You can like hear that there's people in there.
Where's Ben when we need him? Freaking sprinklers. Okay, so I'm gonna go check out and see if anybody's injured.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Well, just let me know if you need me. I'm gonna go try and find out how this battle royale is going.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And you can definitely hear, like, there's, like, we've got, like, kind of muted onomatopoeia going on with, like, smash, boom, crash. But it's all kind of little.
Yeah. Just try to get as many people as possible. But, and then I pause and I think, okay, don't overmanage.
Yeah.
And I say, good luck. And I just walk off.
Okay. I'm going to steal my resolve a little bit, because this isn't usually how it goes when Sage is involved.
Yeah.
She's not usually the one taking the innocence. She's usually the one running straight for the bad guy.
Yeah.
So this is hard. This is a real kick to the ego that I used to have. But I'm going to steal my resolve. I trust Alina completely. I'm just going to go check and run to up to the desk and check behind it and see who's there.
Yeah, so there's a handful of people there. It looks like kind of some administrative staff kind of things, where it's people that would be letting people in, sending people to different things. A lot of the computers have been blown up.
Mm-hmm.
But they look freaked out. Like, there's a moment that they pull back, but then you are not Miss DeVillis.
Right.
And so they're like, is it done? Is it?
No, but we have a way out. My name is Sage, and I'm gonna help you get out. Just follow me. We have a window open. Is there anybody that can't run or walk or move?
And they look around, and there is someone with a bit of an injured leg, but he's got a buddy that's helping him up. And
pretty quick.
Yeah. Okay. So people are down here, at least where it didn't just happen. People are moving, and so they'll listen to you.
Okay. So I'm gonna help everybody up, and then I'm gonna say, there's an open window over there. It's just a little jump. So you lead everybody over there. I'm gonna head up the rear and make sure everybody gets out. Once you get outside, turn to the left and run. Just get out of here.
And they kind of nod. They're ready. They've been waiting for someone to tell them what to do, and they are ready to do that.
Yeah.
Arcana.
Mm-hmm.
Now I assume that you are no longer Selena Gomez, investigative reporter.
Yes, I am now with the domino mask, Arcana.
Perfect. Excellent. And so just hoofing up those stairs, is your plan to get all the way up, or do you want to stop on other stairs do you want to stop on any floors, or you're going up to where the action is?
I think I'll probably pause for maybe 30 seconds to see if I can hear any distress calls.
Okay.
So I can advise Sage that somebody needs it. But okay. My main mission is I'm not going to detour from getting to the top.
Yeah. So I think we get a couple of different panels that show between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
That we're seeing Sage go up and find people and kind of bring them to the right place. And we're seeing Arcana going up and kind of checking in. People don't seem to have been injured. They were not the targets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for the most part, it seems like she's maybe even avoided hurting people to the best of her ability, but fire. Mm-hmm. So, there's definitely some people are going to be treated for smoke inhalation.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think we're going to come to Arcana having gotten to the floor where the business is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a full big 2-page spread that it has three people in there, and we've got you coming in through the door. So we've got a voice bubble that's all spiky and red. You think that you can come up against Miss DeVillis? And it's in big bold fire letters for her name. I'll melt the two of you. And she is just this huge muscular figure. She's 9 feet tall with just deep red skin and horns that are coming out of shoulder length, straight black hair. She has kind of some patches of what look like almost like armor, armor carapace-y sort of things on her hands and on the horns, and just these intense pale yellow eyes. She's wearing dress pants and a button-down shirt, similar to how Dr. DeVillis dresses, and that gets shredded as he goes. So hers are just shredded at the knees and shredded at the elbows. And she has a little pair of red rounded glasses on her nose. That's kind of a little bit of an upturned demon-y looking thing. She looks like a devil.
Mm-hmm.
And facing off against her are the big guy you met earlier, and he's labeled as Guild, and he's got the little caption box. Oh, she's actually also got a caption box that says Miss DeVillis, protege of Dr. DeVillis. Big scary demon punches hard. And then Guild has one as well. He's there. He's big and steel. He's more of his shirt has just been burned off at this point. So he's like, you know, hammered steel, the whole thing. And he's standing up and just like has an arm up as she's shooting flames out of her hands against him. And he's labeled as Guild, member of the Appointed. Big, strong body, lots of metal. And then there's a third person in the room who is, she's a shorter girl. She has kind of like anywhere you would see lines on a very, on someone who's really pale.
Mm-hmm.
She instead has kind of arcs of blue that are like a little bit electric. It looks more like electric lines on her body. And she has red hair and freckles, and she's like has her hand up and is shooting electricity up at Miss DeVillis. And she's labeled as Arc Flash, and it says underneath, member of the Appointed, because she's also in one of the Navy suits with the pin. And there is the situation. More or less, things are in chaos. Civilians have hidden,
mm-hmm.
but they're wrecking this floor pretty badly.
Mm-hmm.
And having gone up a lot of stairs, there's probably only one floor left above this one
mm-hmm.
that when she's done trashing, that's the penthouse suite where you'll have the big offices where the important business people would be.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Are the sprinklers going on up here as well?
Absolutely.
And do they have any effect on her? Do this seem to cause her any discomfort at all?
There's a lot of steam coming off of her.
Okay.
But it's not nearly enough to get through her hellfire.
Cool.
It just melts my mascara and frizzes my hair out, like, horribly.
Perfect.
Okay. I forgot to pack waterproof. My bee.
Okay, so I'd like to
assess
the situation.
Sounds good. Go ahead and roll plus superior.
That's 14.
All right, fantastic. Ask two questions.
Okay, so who here is the most vulnerable to me?
So this is an interesting question because normally I'd be looking at a situation going, this person is a villain
mm-hmm.
and they're fighting against heroes. So like if you were watching Centurion versus Dr. DeVillis, I wouldn't tell you Centurion because he's probably on your side.
Mm-hmm.
These two are fighting against someone who's definitely up to villainy, but there's a lot of questions
mm-hmm.
about what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times with people that have kind of the metallic covering or some sort of form change, mm-hmm. it can be a little bit harder to do some of the psychic stuff as well,
mm-hmm.
just because their body is a little different because of that. I think between Miss DeVillis and Arc Flash is more susceptible to you. She's okay. more vulnerable to you.
All right.
She's a little younger
mm-hmm.
than Guild is and younger than Miss DeVillis is. And so she's a little more just kind of susceptible to people.
Mm-hmm.
But additionally, she is the one who probably you could most easily slap psychic whammies on.
Okay. What here can I use to disable Ms. DeVillis?
So she is big and strong, very scary, does not have, with your knowledge of, you have your knowledge of all sorts of villains and heroes and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
She does not have the physical kind of sturdiness mm-hmm. that Dr. DeVillis has. She's big, but she's mm-hmm. not going to grow any bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so like a good solid hit, mm-hmm. especially like a lot of times people do things like bury her under rubble.
Mm-hmm.
Because she will just be knocked down and not getting back up for a little while. So really, I think the best way to take her out
mm-hmm.
is just hitting her with everything you've got.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
You'll take a plus one when acting on those answers.
Okay. So I think what I want to do is to wait for her to square off with Guild.
Okay.
And wait until she's in front of a window and he's between me and her.
Okay.
Hey, Penance, what's your 20?
I'm two steps behind you.
It looks like we've got two possible allies and Davilus. I think if I can get her in front of the window, I think we can get her out of the building and incapacitate her. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to get everybody to cooperate, though.
So what can I do?
I hate to ask this, but can you distract them for me?
Sure. And am I distracting all of them, just to clarify?
I think we got like a couple of panels of you talking while going up the stairs and like gesturing people the way to go. And we now have the two of you like standing in the stairwell as you're finishing up the conversation on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can see my eyes roll. all of them?
Really just Lily White and Sparky over there.
Yeah. I'll go see my boyfriend. And I'm going to like take off my hoodie and like muss my hair a little and like.
Oh, no.
So I'm just going to run up in front of Guild. Guys, this is bad. I'm going to run up in front of Guild and be like, you said you'd never cheat on me again. I can't believe you. You're here with her. And I'm like just causing a huge stupid scene between Miss Davilus and Guild, like accusing him of cheating on me. And I'm like screaming and crying and like tears streaming and throwing a fit. And like, it's just so dumb. Nobody knows what to do with it.
Immediately, Guild,
you just hear the clank of his jaw dropping and then sort of like trying to say something and then closing his mouth again and then him processing and then his jaw dropping again.
I gave up my whole life for you and I thought we were going to have a future together and I didn't see this coming and like, what can I do? What can I possibly do?
And we've got that huge text bubble and then Guild just wraps his arms around you. And just turns and, like, pulls down onto one knee, like, holding you with his body all basically wrapped around you. Because is a lot of fire hitting his back right now.
Aw, he protected me.
And, yeah, he did. He did protect you. And so, like, you can see from the look on his face that this is really uncomfortable. And I think you can actually see from where you are that, like, not being able to move where the heat is landing, because it's just straight on his back, he is starting to melt, which is not a great look. And so, but he's got you wrapped up in big, strong metal arms. And
she's not enjoying it a little bit.
And you're definitely like face to face in this. And he goes, I don't know who the hell you are, but this is not the time for some kind of game here.
Listen, I'm here to help. My friend has a plan, but I needed all attention on you. This was my only option. I'm so sorry. Hi, I'm Sage.
Hi, this sucks.
I agree. All right.
And at that point, Arc Flash has like stood up and is shooting balls of electricity at Miss Davilus, who's kind of like batting them aside with the carapace-y arm that she has.
Okay. I'm going to go for her center of gravity.
Okay.
And just push her into the window and hopefully through it.
Okay.
Do we have team yet?
Oh, this is actually probably the time to have some team.
Okay.
1+2 for facing a dangerous foe. Who is the leader here?
It's Alina.
Okay. Do you have influence over Sage?
Yes.
For the purposes of this fight, if everyone has the same purpose in the fight, what's your purpose in this fight?
To teach Sage that she is still a useful part of our team.
Awesome.
What? Shocker.
Sage, what is your purpose in
not
this fight?
Not that.
Okay, what's your purpose in the fight?
Disable Miss Davilus and get everyone out safely and keep the appointed people away from Alina.
So that you do not add a +1.
Uh-huh.
Do either of you mistrust the other person?
No.
Cool. Are you ill-prepared or off-balance?
I'm not.
I think right now I'm already in the middle of handling it, so I have no choice but to keep going.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
so I don't think, yeah, no, you came into the fight. You knew what you were coming into. I think you are good unless you are emotionally unprepared for
it. I'm not emotionally unprepared, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so you're at 4 team. That's awesome. Great to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to push her out the window.
Yes.
Okay. I think this is going to be directly engaging a threat.
Okay.
Just because throwing someone out a window, I think, does qualify for that.
Okay. Well, are you sure it's not Unleash Power?
No, I get how it could be Unleash Powers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
But I think...
it more closely adheres to...
Like, ripping, like opening a wall mm-hmm. so that it's more dangerous would be unleashing your powers. Mm-hmm. Because that's reshaping your environment. I made it Unleash Your Powers for Mindshot because she was alone and unprepared and everything like that. But I think this is directly engaging a threat.
Okay. Five.
Yes!
Mm-mm. And I'm doing with...
Danger.
It's a nine.
Yeah.
Okay. I
can help.
Yeah, you can help if you want to bump it up to a 10.
So you're trying to push her through the window?
Yes.
Okay, so while you run to tackle her, I'm going to say to him, my friend's trying to push her out a window. Can you help? Can you push? Can you turn around and like run at her or something? I'll just run. I'll just get out of the way.
So yeah, so we get a panel that shows him, like he's got a look of intense pain on his face now.
Yeah, sucks.
This really sucks. And he goes, all right, give me the signal. And we get a panel that shows you starting to use your psychic projection and push onto mm-hmm. her. And the nod from Sage. And he just like turns and hurls Sage to the side. Like not like throwing in the air,
yeah.
but like hurling on the ground.
Yeah.
And just turns and like is running straight at her to give a last push if you need it.
Mm-hmm.
So on a 10 plus... you will pick two from directly engage a threat.
So I'm going to resist and avoid their blows.
It might be take something from them in terms of getting her out the window, that you're taking her footing.
Yes, okay. I'm taking her balance.
We get the panel that shows you pushing your psychic blasts, and she gets to the window frame and just like digs her claws into the side of it and is pushing back on it, and then is just like... shoulder checked by Guild hitting her, and she just starts tumbling down out the window. We get a panel that shows her looking just completely enraged, just like flames actively in her eyes, and she reaches back over her shoulder and pulls out a flame whip and hurls it up. And it catches on to Guild's arm, and he braces himself in the window, but it's definitely pulling him down.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's a jerk as the whip gets to the end of its length, mm-hmm. and he's trying to hold himself back.
Okay.
As she is starting to try to pull herself up the whip. What do you do?
Okay, so I am going to check to see if Penance is okay. And then I'm going to jump on his back and push him all the way out the window.
And the last panel of this comic shows Arcana jumping, landing on Guild's back, and just pushing him forward through the window. And the three of you are falling down through space towards your death.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Penance is played by Elsbeth Denman, who can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. Alina Mars is played by Jessica Benigni, who can be found on Twitter at HerLockHolmes. The introduction was voiced by Peter DeGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us at our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com or follow us on Twitter at Protean City. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.